Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is a TWiT special number 51, recorded November 28, 2010. Steve Martin. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is a TWiT special. I was very fortunate on the Tech Guy Show, the radio show I do on Sunday, the 28th of November, to talk to one of my heroes, Steve Martin, who happens to be a bit of a geek himself. His Twitter account has been very active. He just published a new novel. He's got a Grammy Award winning banjo album. He just completed a new movie about birding, and he had some questions for me. So what you're about to see is our half-hour conversation on the Tech Guy Show with Mr. Steve Martin. All right, here we go. Just follow my cues. You go ahead and you play the music. I can't get the crow working.
By the way, I have my banjo here to play us off.
Oh, good.
By the way, I'm all the time in the world.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, you're off in a half hour anyway, right?
No, I have an hour and a half, but I'm not going to make you do it an hour and a half.
I don't want to take time away from people.
That's quite all right. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Do we have a billboard for this?
No.
All right. Well, then I won't bother with a billboard because I have got a very famous face sitting across from me. This is the first time I've ever used Apple's FaceTime.
And me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's working.
It's working good.
Yeah. Now, you're on your iPhone. Is that right?
I actually bought a little whole iPhone holder yesterday at the store. It's working good. I clipped it to my computer screen so I can look right into it. I was going to have to sort of balance it on things, but it's a pretty good little device.
That's cool.
So you'll send me a check for that. It was
absolutely. We will reimburse you. And I notice you're using a very nice headset.
Got a little headset that I always use. I'm a professional. And I even have a little lighting thing here.
I noticed that. And according to the Twitter, you have the makeup team and the team of advisors in there.
Makeup, advisors, and a team of lawyers.
Are they whispering in your ear if I ask you a question?
They're holding up cards.
Yeah,
don't answer
good,
that. They're saying.
Good. You know, it's kind of fun to see you on Twitter. When did you start using Twitter?
When? It was about the middle of, early September.
Recently.
Yeah, it was very recent, and I did it kind of on a whim. I was actually talking to a friend of mine, Tom Hanks, and I said, "What do you do on it?" And he says, "Oh, I kind of talk about my movie, keep people interested in it, and I had some things coming out. My book and my record is out next year, and I have a movie coming out. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. But once I started doing it, I didn't have the heart to really promote stuff without serving up some content first. So I just started doing it. I really didn't understand it. And I started writing these little kind of narrative stories that I think I overdid it at first. But then
it's been fun. It's actually it's quite fun. On Twitter, by the way, I haven't said who we're talking to. It's Steve Martin.
And my God.
I know. I love him.
I'm so excited.
And your Twitter handle is at Steve Martin to go, which I like because did somebody have Steve Martin?
Well, I had the option. I could have gotten Steve Martin. I said, no, I like Steve Martin to go.
Yeah.
So I just stuck with that.
Yeah. It's like a lunchbox version of Steve Martin. A bento box.
Yeah. It's my head in a box.
Do you find 140 characters limiting? I mean,
No. Actually, you know what I've been trying to do? First, I kind of like it because I don't think people want to read too much. And I've been trying to stay away from LOLs and little abbreviations and trying to be grammatical. And I found that the present tense is much better than the past tense because it's actually shorter. And
might kind of be an interesting discipline for a writer, actually.
I like it. So it maybe sets me off from the others. I don't know. But I still don't understand a few things. I wanted to ask you a few questions.
Well, I'm here for you.
I understood I finally figured, somebody told me about direct reply. See, when I was first doing it, I was doing little narrative stories. So I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the next tweet by doing a response, because then they wouldn't be in sequence, my little tweets,
right.
Little narrative tweets.
Right.
So I didn't do that. And then I found out about a direct reply where you could respond to someone directly.
Right.
So I would do that and send them a sort of a private email. And then someone told me that you could, then I figured out that you could just reply. But I don't know what people are seeing. You know what I mean? If I reply to someone, here's my question.
Okay.
If I reply to someone, does that go out to all my followers? That's. Or does that just go to them?
I will confess that I did not know at first, and I was misusing it. So I can tell you from bitter experience what happens. When Twitter first started, there was no at sign. Users actually were the people who created the at sign, because in the early days of Twitter back in 2007, people would sometimes want to direct a tweet to somebody. So they'd put that person's Twitter handle with an at in front of it. Just kind of as an informal shorthand way of saying, hey, this, you know, I'm responding to somebody. The folks at Twitter, I think very cannily, said, oh, this is a feature, and incorporated into Twitter. So now when you put an at and say at Leo Laporte or at Steve Martin to go all in one word, it's a clickable link. People can click it, go to that person's stream and see and follow them. So it's a good thing for discovery. But they also added, I think, a nice feature. If you begin a tweet... Let's say you're responding to something I said, and you begin the tweet with at Leo Laporte. That will only be visible, this is the rule, and it's not obvious. I'm sure it's documented somewhere, but that will only be visible to you and people who follow Leo.
I see.
So it doesn't, in fact, if somebody's just following you and not following me, they won't see it. Which is why sometimes you'll see when I respond to people, I will put some regular text, thank you, at Steve Martin to go, and then more text. Now that scene, everybody sees that.
Now, do you have to cut and paste that, or?
Well, you can, and if you're, it depends what do you use to tweet? I know you're an iPad user.
But I usually use my computer.
You just use the web.
I use the web, and I have my little Twitter thing, so if I see something, if you respond to me, for example, I come down here, and it'll say reply, retweet, favorite, you know, give me the time, but I usually click on reply, so that if I reply to someone, it goes to them and their followers.
Them and their followers. Your followers won't see it unless they also follow the person you're talking to. So it's a way of having a little bit of privacy. Now if I go and I look at Steve Martin's entire tweet stream, I'll see everything you've said. Recently you tweeted the real sister Wendy, well then get a podcast life. Now I can see that.
Sister Wendy was complaining that he or she had to download a Flash. So I suspect that he was on an iPad.
Right.
He had to download Flash.
So you're answering people's tech questions.
Pardon me?
You're taking my job. You're answering people's tech questions.
Oh, that's the point of this call. I'm trying to get
that into the
job.
So anyway,
you
can
do stand-up. Sorry.
No, I can't. So there you go. I see that only when I go to... If I were following Real Sister Wendy, I'd see it. But if I am only following you, I'll see it only when I go to your list of tweets.
Got it. But if I retweet...
That's everybody who follows you sees that.
And does it include what they sent to me?
Well, now, Twitter kind of screwed this one up.
Uh-huh.
There was an informal syntax for retweeting where you would just copy the entire tweet, add RT at the beginning to say, I'm not saying this, I'm retweeting somebody else's. Sometimes there were different ways of, informal ways of doing this. You'd put an RT, or you'd put via Steve Martin to go, or you'd put it in quotes or not. By the way, did you invent the air quotes? Because somebody in the Wikipedia says
no,
you invented those. Okay.
No, that existed a long time ago.
Thank goodness, because for the last 6 months, every time I do that, I've been saying, you know, copyright Steve Martin. So I'll stop that now.
No, I didn't admit that at all. Okay. We used it on an early show. We kind of made fun of it, but it was many years ago. So I kind of got credit for something I didn't.
It's public domain now.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of the traditional retweet. Now, Twitter, about a year ago, added this kind of button that says retweet. And it does something much more mechanical, which is just kind of takes the original tweet and puts it in your stream. without any RT or VIA or anything. And there's some debate about how whether that's the right way to do it. In fact, some clients will give you a choice of old style retweeting or new style. Mm-hmm. You'll see.
So if I press retweet on my little computer here, mm-hmm. It's going to send out what they sent me. I can't add a response to it.
You can't put anything in it. It will merely put that retweet into your stream. Put that original tweet into your stream with a little. It does a little kind of sometimes hard to see inset of that person's picture on yours, and it says it's a retweet, but it's not obvious.
People send me something funny, and I'd like to sort of send it out, but add my comment.
I'll tell you how to do that when we come back. Can you hold on for a second?
Okay.
Steve Martin's joining us. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls coming up. We're still on the live stream, Steve, just not on the radio.
So I leave my pants on.
Keep the pants on.
Okay.
Hey, I'll mention this on the air, but I did not expect to love this as much as I did. This is a great book. It really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, in fact, I said this on Twitter, the only objection I have is it's too short. You really get engrossed in this person, these people,
thanks.
and the art world. And, you know, you could, Joyce Carol Oates says it reminds her of the Age of Innocence, but it is about this era. That's pretty nice.
That is very, very
it's a very nice blurb. Looks like it was done by a pro, but it was done by you in minutes. Yeah, you kind of want. I guess you could write a sequel.
Well, her story is told.
Yeah, you don't seem like the sequel kind of guy, to be honest.
Yeah, not in this area. In his movies, yes. So we'll continue with this chat. But then I have one other, if we have time, one other area to go to, which is. But I don't know if it's interesting to your listeners.
Don't worry about that. You're inherently interesting, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Don't worry about that.
It has to do with the iPhone and even the Droid time zones. When it starts changing all my time zones on.
Oh. Do you use Google Calendar?
I do use Google. I mean, I use it only to sync with. My assistant.
Why do I use it? She uses it. She uses it probably too. Yeah, because then they can.
Well, go ahead.
They can. Yeah. So that Google Calendar has time zone support.
Mm-hmm.
So if you turn on time zone support, it will. It's supposed to automatically adjust it. Try it for the time zones you're in.
Yeah, but it changes my appointments.
I know.
3 hours later.
That's because
that's the
if you would just sit still, you wouldn't have this problem. I know what you're talking about. Hey, if you rotate your phone, it should just rotate this to go full screen. Let's see what happens here.
Okay.
Can your holder rotate? Oh, look at that!
Yeah,
that's even better. Okay, that's really good. And then when I go, full screen to you, you fill up the screen. I've got this really jerry-rigged, but it works. Can you hear me okay, or is it a little hard to hear? Because I'm using the laptop mic, unfortunately.
No, I can hear you.
Okay.
Sometimes I drop a word, but I can figure out what
it's not. It's not ideal. We have to. Yeah, that looks good. That's much better. Now your head is as big as
my
mine.
Lighting.
Fantastic.
Desk light for 20 years. I've never had a use for it.
Do you write on a computer? I imagine you do.
I do write on a computer. You know, I was going to talk to you. My first computer was a display writer.
Oh, wow.
And I would, if I wanted to move a paragraph, I wrote Three Amigos on it. If I wanted to move a paragraph, I would leave the room for 30 minutes.
We're done now. You can come back. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a little better now. Do you use screenwriting software or do you just use a word processor?
I do when I'm writing a screenplay, but I haven't done that for a couple of years now. So I'd have to purchase a whole new system.
Probably would.
New software.
Probably would. What did you write the novel in? Just in Word or?
Word, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. I love writing on the computer.
You know, there's a science fiction novelist, Neal Stephenson, who uses longhand with fountain pens on a yellow pad.
Who does that?
Neal Stephenson. And if you go to, he's really a great writer. If you go, but he's also prolific, which means he's it's a lot of writing. If you go to the Science Fiction Museum in Seattle, there's a 6 foot tall stack of yellow legal pads and about 800 boxes of Pilot fountain pens that he used to write his last novel. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo's the number. Steve Martin is here. Yeah, that's Steve Martin. You know, I suppose there are other Steve Martins, but this is...
Yeah, there are a lot of them, actually. I feel sorry for them.
This is the Steve Martin, and Steve Martin to Go is his Twitter handle. By the way, great website. Very funny. I love the... I love the yellow pad note to yourself about what to do on stage, which I think has kind of fallen off the front page now.
Thank you.
Really great. That's stevemartin.com. He is Steve Martin to Go on Twitter. You don't do Facebook, though.
No, I have a page on Facebook that was created when my first album, The Crow, my only banjo record, came out. I have another one coming out in March, by the way. But it was created for me, but I never really got into it. In fact, I went to I looked at someone else's Facebook page just yesterday. I logged in, and Facebook immediately started sending out invitations to my entire contact list. And I just logged off.
Yeah, just unplug the computer when that happens.
Yeah.
And run.
Yeah.
But you're not strangers to technology. Would you characterize yourself as technically literate?
I'd say I'm computer literate, but I'm not a techie. I wouldn't know. I don't think I could set up a router, but I could. I'm pretty savvy enough.
Yeah.
You know, I like it.
Good.
I mean, here's my cell phone.
It's a stapler. It's very
It's a stapler.
Good reception though.
I'm not getting good reception.
Be careful with the ear. Don't want to stick that in there. I'll give you a plug as long as we're plugging for the new book. By the way, really great. To be honest, when a comedian and movie star writes a book, you go, well, okay, let's see. You know, but Shop Girl was brilliant. And this is your first full length novel, An Object of Beauty.
Well, first, yes.
Mm-hmm. Or
An Object of Beauty.
You've tried on Twitter. You've tried some abbreviations.
Smoob. A lot of people sent in very good ones. Very good. You know, very good abbreviations for An Object of Beauty. Obooty.
Obooty. I like that.
There was Smoob, Steve Martin's Object of Beauty.
Ah, those are the Smoob.
There was Nobobo. There was, I like this one, Jectobute.
I liked Jectobute. That was my, I was going to call it Jectobute.
Yeah. Booty was one. Yeah, that goes on and on.
An Object of Beauty, brand new, highly. I actually have read the whole thing, cover to cover.
That's more than the television interviewers did.
I know. I watched Charlie Rose kind of flip through it and go, Paige, this one was a kind of a labor of love. And once I started it, I fell in love with it. Your character, what's her name? Fantastic.
Lacey Yeager.
Lacey Yeager. Yes. Yeah. No, it's about the when we talked last week, you said, your audience is going to be interested. It's about the New York art scene. But actually, that's just the backdrop for the characters. But that's a fascinating backdrop.
It is. It's a very. I've been involved in it for 30 years, and I love the art world. It really has affected my life, actually, being involved with paintings and art and artists and dealers and people who love art, collectors, and, of course, the paintings themselves. Let's not forget them.
Yeah. Your Twitter, if people want to see a little of Steve's collection, his Twitter photo has an Eric Fischel.
You got it right, an Eric Fischel. How'd you know that was an Eric Fischel painting?
I didn't know. I had to. I searched for it, but I found it. Mm-hmm. And the reason I found it is because I think you had this on exhibit at the Bellagio at one point.
I did, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just to sum up on this retweet.
Oh, yes. We haven't finished our retweet.
It sounds like it's maybe not so valuable to me.
Well, I think what you should do is the old style retweet. If you want to comment, if you want to, gloss what somebody has tweeted, which I often want to do as well, the best thing is to cut and paste. And put, but what you do is you have two choices. I think the best way is to preface it with RT, capital R, capital T. Usually I will put you might have to edit it because, of course, you've got to get it into 140 characters.
Right. Yeah.
So you can put.
That sounds like a lot of work.
This is why, by the way, there's a retweet button where you do nothing. You just say, right. Okay. But if you want to gloss it, you cut it, you paste it. I would paste in there at. You know, sign right at the beginning uh-huh. there. I usually put their tweet in quotes and then put my addition at the end. You can use ellipsis if you edit it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a good thing to do. I think this is part, really, in all seriousness, and I think a lot of people, you know, kind of don't get Twitter or mock Twitter. It is a form. And
I think it's like radio because I can actually create a scene in people's heads that it's like listening to old radio.
I agree. There's
you can put people on a train or you can put them on mm-hmm. a plane or they can see things that it's like being in an animated cartoon. You know, I can have a monkey running at the airport.
That's right. And you have.
I still don't quite understand how I cut and paste all this, but I see. So I just copy this. I would copy it.
Paste it into the window.
Tweet window.
Yeah. Precede it with capital R, capital T. I usually leave it.
How do you spell that? Capital R, capital T. And that's an actual.
This is what. Yeah, it's what people did before Twitter added this retweet button. And I think still many people prefer it. If you search for RT, you'll see a lot of retweets.
Right. And then I would put my response in a bracket or something.
Well, yeah. Somehow signal it. There's really no convention for that.
Right. I see. Okay.
There are, you know, and if you try, you know, you might want to look at some other clients instead of using Twitter's own website.
I see.
TweetDeck, Seismic Desktop, a lot of these will give you a choice of new school or old school retweeting.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to tell you my term for when you're very happy with a piece of software.
Yes.
And then they improve it. And then it's no longer functional and they've taken out your favorite part. I call those deprovements.
It's been deproved.
Yes.
It seems to happen a lot.
Vudu. I used to use Vudu all the time to watch movies on. And then it was sold to Walmart and they improved it. To the point that I can no longer use it. I call that they deproved it.
Have you tried the Roku box? I think you'd like that.
I'm getting one installed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you'd like that quite a bit. I'm sorry. There's a fly on your face. Excuse me.
It's actually just where I live.
No, it's not. I apologize. I'm shooting the screen, and unfortunately, there is a fly in here, and it's on the screen. Get out of here,
Yeah. I live in a tent in the belt, so. There's a lot of flies around here, too.
But it's just such a great pleasure to talk to you, Steve.
Again, it is. So, should I ask my last question?
Please do. We have
cutting in line at the doctor's office.
You are.
I think and get Leo.
Nobody on hold minds one bit. I'll give you the back. I'll give you the special warm line. You can call in any time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anytime.
I could sell it to people.
Who's this? Steve gave me the number. So go ahead.
As I said, I have a hard time because I do travel quite a bit that I've had to actually set my computer on one time zone.
Right.
And never change it. Because every time I change the time zone, my Outlook calendar changes all my appointments by 3 hours.
Right.
And there's absolutely no way that I can figure out to stop it from
my suggestion is actually to stop using Outlook.
What do I use instead?
I would just use the Google Calendar. And are you a Mac?
Calendar does it too.
Are you Mac?
Google Calendar shifts my.
Sure.
Yeah.
You have to turn on time zone support, but you actually want that. What you want to do is.
Why do I want my appointment shifted by 3 hours?
When you enter the appointment, get your assistant to do this. When he or she enters the appointment, put a time zone in the entry. So say I'm saying this appointment is 12:30 Pacific time, and then mm-hmm. Google will adjust it according to your current zone so that it shows the actual time that you need to know.
Oh, I don't want that. If it's, seriously. If it's 3 p.m., if I'm in L.A. and I say this appointment is at 3 p.m.
right.
in New York,
right.
I don't want to know. I want to know. I want it to stay 3 p.m. I don't put it in. It's really 6 p.m. you know, Fuji right. time. I don't put it in. I put it in 3 p.m. New York.
You're not alone, actually. And almost all programs, including Outlook, you can turn off time zone support. And then it's just a fixed time. It won't pay any attention to the time where you are. It'll always be whatever time you like to use, specific time, I presume.
Well, Outlook, I can do that. But when I because I'm going through Google.
You have to calendar. Do that in the Google Calendar. Turn that off as well.
I'm telling you, it doesn't work.
Really?
I've done everything. And my Droid phone, I had to, I could not tell it what time zone I was in.
Anyway,
I know there's a greater,
I will, I will research this okay. and I will ask the greater Leo and I will research okay. this. We have to okay. run. Steve's book is All an right. object of beauty.
It's been great talking to
great
you.
Great to talk to you. Real pleasure. Okay. We're big fans. Is it in color on the iBookstore?
Huh? Oh, iBook. I know it's in color on the Kindle iPad.
It is. Okay.
The iPad app, it's in color, yes.
You really want to get, and I got the Audible book, and there's no pictures, obviously. And you really do want to either get the hardcover of an Object of Beauty, or you want to get the Kindle version. I'll have to look on the iBook store to see it. I imagine if Kindle has color, then iBook will have color.
Well, Kindle, no, I'm talking about the Kindle iPad app.
Yes, because on the Kindle there's no color, but...
Yeah,
if right. you're doing it on the iPad yeah. or on your computer or somewhere with color, it'll have color.
Okay, right. It's great talking to you. I know you have to go.
Nah, I don't have to go. Well, we're done. We're out. We're gone.
Oh, we're out. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We're out.
Okay.
I'm gonna. You
All
know, right. let me ask the chat room real quickly. Chat room, you understand? You understand yeah, Steve's question about the time zones? There is a setting in the Droid where you can.
Yes, But I've done that. But if I, for example, right now, my Droid clock says, and I'm in Eastern Standard Time, it says 1 o'clock. And if I change
okay,
the...
Okay, so there's a setting in the phone that says, in the time setting, that says, use the time zone you're in. Now, you don't want that, though.
Right. If I change that, all my appointments shift by 3 hours.
But appropriately by 3 hours or?
No, wrong.
Wrong by 3 hours.
Wrong by 3 hours.
You're not the first person who's asked this, actually.
Yeah, I know. I've heard people ask before.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's a bug or if it's a... You know, remember, the guys who... People who work at Google are not like you and me.
Right.
And they understand it in a way that's different from, I think, how normal users understand mm-hmm. it. So I do have many contacts there. I'll ask and I'll see if we can get the Steve Martin fix.
Yeah, but I'm not really using the Droid. I'm using the iPhone.
I still
have a problem. My computer now, like I say, I have to leave it on Pacific time. If right. I set it to my own time zone, forget it. Everything starts shifting.
I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to send you a long email with step-by-step instructions. You must have somebody who does your tech for you.
Who does my what?
Your technology.
No, I do every once in a while when I need something complex, but otherwise I'm doing it. But tell me if you have to go.
Nope.
The way my thing works, I use Outlook, and I sync that to Google Calendar so my assistant in L.A. can change my...
Right.
calendar.
Right.
And otherwise, I'm syncing my Outlook to my iPhone.
Right.
Because I'm on a Windows machine.
I'm really trying to think of what the...
But as soon as I change my time zone, then for some reason, all my appointments change. So I just... And I have to change my time by hand when I move from time zone to time zone.
I'm looking at the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
You do sync the iPhone to Google, not Outlook, right?
I sync it to Outlook.
Ah. I would stop that.
Mm-hmm.
And sync to Google. When you set up your Google, your Gmail, your...
I don't use Gmail.
But you have a Google account. So what you can do is set up the Google account and get the calendar from the Google account as opposed to Outlook. It's actually better because it pushes it. So when your assistant changes it, it'll change on your phone immediately.
Uh-huh.
So you probably do want that. And that you can set up... In the accounts, you have to set up it using Exchange. It's a little weird.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But you use Exchange.
I was so suspicious. I used Exchange once, and it deleted all my appointments.
That's not good.
And so I said, I'm not doing
Never
that
again.
Anymore. Everything.
I will send you kind of... I'm watching the chat room. They have some suggestions. I'm going to... I have all the same things. I will work through it and figure it out. But okay. Your goal is...
I know you're a busy guy, so don't worry about it.
No, I got plenty of time. But for you, no problem. There's some special people. But I want to understand it. You want to keep everything Pacific time.
No. Yeah, I want to keep everything at the time I enter it. No matter, you know, whether I'm in New York, if my appointment's at 2 o'clock, I don't want to fly to L.A. and have it say it's at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, because I'm making an appointment for L.A. I might say, when I'm in L.A., I'm going to meet somebody at 2 o'clock.
Right.
I don't want to do the computation and go, well, it'll be really 11 o'clock. So I've got to put that in.
It's designed to do that. It's designed to say, you know, because I'm going to Paris on Sunday. I put in my appointments at Paris time, but I make sure when I put them in, I say this is Paris time. And when I get to Paris, it'll be actually the real
but
time.
But do you really want to make that calculation? What is?
No, I don't have to.
What?
Well, no, I don't have to because they told me you're speaking at 6 p.m. in Paris. So I write in the Google Calendar, 6 p.m., Paris. And then Google Calendar will tell me, well, that's 9 a.m. where you are right now. But when I get to Paris, my phone will adjust and it'll say, yeah, it's 6 p.m. That's what you want, really.
You're typing in the word Paris time? And it's
yeah, you can choose when you enter in, you choose what time zone that time that you're entering in is.
Oh.
You know what? I'm gonna.
It seems like more work than just saying it's going to be 6 p.m. when I get there.
Well, you're going to do calculation in your head, right? I see what you're saying. So you would enter 6 p.m. You wouldn't give it a time
you say,
zone.
When I'm in Paris, it's going to be 6 p.m.
And these guys, what's happening is all this technology is trying to be helpful. And what you don't want it to do anything. You want it to be just a fixed time. And 6 p.m., I'll worry about where I am.
Yeah.
I'll figure that out for you. Now I understand. Okay. Now I understand what you want. I'll send you a note that'll have explanation.
Okay.
Do that.
Thanks
and
a lot.
If you ever come to the Bay Area again, please.
I'll drop in. I love it.
We'd love to have you
up
here.
I love
it'd be
your
really
show.
Fun.
Okay.
You're very kind. Thank you, Steve. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.